The Sermons of the Humble Cure of Ours, Saint John Vianney. Sermon for the fourth Sunday after Lent, titled, The Bad Death. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you ask me what most people understand by a bad death, I will reply, when a person dies in the prime of his life, married, enjoying good health, having wealth and abundance, and leaves children and a wife desolate, there is no doubt but that such death is very tragic. King Ezekiel said, "What, my God, is it necessary that I die in the midst of my years, in the prime of my life?" And the prophet king asked God not to take him in his prime. Others say that to die at the hands of the executioner on the gallows is a bad death. Others say that a sudden death is a bad death, as for instance to be killed in some disaster, or to be drowned, or to fall from a high building and be killed. And then some may say the worst thing is to die of some horrible disease, like the plague or some other contagious malady. And yet, my dear brethren, I'm going to tell you that none of these are bad deaths, provided that a person has lived well. If he dies in his prime, his life will not fail to be valuable in the eyes of God. We have many saints who died in the prime of their lives. It is not a bad death either to die at the hands of an executioner. To die a sudden death is not to die a bad death either, provided one is ready. We have many saints who died deaths of that sort. Saint Simeon was killed by lightning on his pillar. St. Francis de Sales died of apoplexy. Finally, to die of the plague is not a bad death either. St. Roch and St. Francis Xavier died of it. But what makes death bad is sin. Ah, this horrible sin which tears and devours at this dreaded moment. Alas, no matter where the poor unfortunate sinner looks, he sees only sin and neglected graces. If he lifts his eyes to heaven, he sees only an angry God, armed with all the fury of his justice, who is ready to punish him. If he turns his gaze downwards, he sees only hell and its furies, already opening its gates to receive him. Alas! This poor sinner did not want to recognize the justice of God during his life on earth. At this moment, not only does he see it, but he feels it already pressing down upon him. During his lifetime, he was always trying to hide his sins, or at least to make little of them as possible. But at this moment, everything is shown to him as in a broad light of day. He sees now what he should have seen before, what he did not want to see. He would like to weep for his sins, but he has no more time. He scorned God during his lifetime. God now, in his turn, scorns him and abandons him in his despair. Listen, you hardened sinners, you who are wallowing now with such pleasure in the slime of your vice, without casting even a thought upon amending your lives, who perhaps will give thought of this only when God has abandoned you, as has happened to people less guilty than you. Yes, the Holy Ghost tells us that sinners in the last moments will gnash their teeth, will be seized by a horrible dread at the very thought of their sins. Their iniquities will rise up before them and accuse them. Alas, they will cry at this dread moment, "Alas! Of what use is this pride, this vain ostentation, and all those pleasures we have been enjoying in sin? Everything is finished now. We have not a single item of virtue to our credit, but we have been completely conquered by our evil passions." This is exactly what happened to the unhappy Antiochus, who, when he fell from his chariot, shattered his whole body. He experienced such dreadful pain in his entrails that it seemed to him as if someone were tearing them out. The worms started to gnaw at him while he was still alive, and his whole body stank like carrion. Then he began to open his eyes. This is what sinners do, but too late. "Ah," he cried, "I realize now that it was the evils which I committed in Jerusalem that are tormenting me now and gnawing at my heart." His body was consumed by the most frightful sufferings, and his spirit with an inconceivable sadness. He got his friends to come in, thinking that he might find some consolation in them, but no, abandoned by God, who gives consolation, he cannot find it in others. "Alas, my friends," he said to them, "I have fallen into terrible affliction. Sleep has left me. I cannot rest for a single instant. My heart is pierced with grief. To what a terrible state of sadness and anguish I am reduced. It seems to me that I must die of sorrow, and in a strange country too. Ah, Lord, pardon me. I will repair all the evils I have done. I will pay back all that I took from the temple in Jerusalem. I'll present great gifts to the temple. I'll become a Jew. I will observe the law of Moses. I will go out, publicizing the omnipotence of God. Ah, Lord, have mercy on me, please." But his illness increased, and God, whom he had scorned during his life, no longer has ears to hear him. He was a proud man, a blasphemer, and despite his urgent prayers, he was not listened and had to go to hell. It is a grievous but a just punishment that sinners, who throughout their lives had spurned all the graces which God has offered them, find no more graces when they would like to profit them. Alas, the number of people who die thus in the sight of God is great. Alas, that there are so many of these blind people who do not open their eyes until the moment when there are no further remedies for their ills. Yes, my dear brethren, yes, a life of sin and a death of rejection. You are in sin and you do not wish to give it up? No, you say? Very well, my children. You will perish in your sin. You will see that in the death of Voltaire, the notorious blasphemer. Listen carefully, and you will see that if we despise God always, and if God waits for us during our lives, often by a just judgment, he will abandon us at the hour of our death, when we would like to return to him. The idea that one can live in sin and give it all up one day is one of the devil's traps, which will cause you to lose your soul, as it has caused many others to lose theirs. Voltaire, realizing that he was ill, began to reflect upon the state of the sinner who dies with his conscience loaded with sins. He wished to examine his conscience and to see whether God would be willing to pardon him of all the sins of his life, which were very great in number. He counted on the mercy of God, which is infinite, and with this comforting thought in mind, he had brought to him one of those priests whom he had greatly outraged and calumniated in his writings. He threw himself upon his knees and made a declaration to him of his sins, and put it into his hands the recantation of all the impieties and all his scandals. He began to flatter himself on having achieved the great work of his reconciliation, but he was gravely mistaken. God had abandoned him. You will see how. Death anticipated all spiritual help. Alas, this unfortunate blasphemer felt all the terrors born in him. He cried out, "Alas, I am then abandoned by God and men." Yes, unhappy man, you are. Already your lot and your hope are in hell. Listen to this godless man. He cries out with that mouth sullied with so many profanities and so much blasphemy against God, his religion, and his ministers. "Ah," he cried out, "Jesus Christ, Son of God, who died for all sinners without distinction, have pity on me." But alas, almost a century of blasphemy and impiety had exhausted the patience of God, who had already rejected him. He was no more than a victim which the wrath of God fattens for the eternal flames. The priests whom he had so derided, but whom in this moment he so desired were not there. See him as he falls into convulsions, in the horrors of despair, his eyes wild, his face ghastly, his body trembling with terror. He twists and turns and torments himself, and seems as if he wants to atone for all those previous blasphemies with which his mouth had been so often sullied. His companions in religion, fearing lest someone might bring him the last sacraments, something which had seemed to them to dishonor their cause, brought him to a house in the country, and there abandoned it to his despair. Saint John Vianney, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.